Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you on this National Prayer Day to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call right now to 844-322-2742. That number is good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As you mentioned at the outset, this is the National Day of Prayer. This particular day has been set aside for a number of years for Christians to gather together to pray for the nation, pray for the concerns of the people here in America. So there's different prayer gatherings that are happening all across the country today. Our good friend Jeremy White, a pastor out in Vacaville, California, who hosted us last year for a conference, he posted a picture on his Facebook page of the prayer that the group that gathered there, the city officials and other pastors, and he had the opportunity to pray for that particular part of the country. And I know there's folks in Washington, D.C., and you know, I think when we think of the word sanctified, and that's our theme for this month, that we've been set apart, well, one of the things that we've been set apart to really do is to pray. We've been set apart to enjoy a relationship with God, to be in constant fellowship with Him. That's what it means to be saved, that we are now in fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's a perpetual thing. There's no interruption of fellowship. But a part of that fellowship, a part of that relationship is praying. We get to communicate with our Heavenly Father. We get to talk with Him, share our heart, and all of those sort of things. So that is something that we can do and really enjoy. And I think as far as our country is concerned, there's some encouragement in the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul wrote this to his young son in the faith. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. So we thank the Lord for all people, then for kings and all those in authority. And we pray for them for a specific reason, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So there's kind of this American way of life, but there's a Christian way of life that's to be lived in peace, in quietness, in all godliness and holiness. And we want to be able to live that life in this land. So I think as we pray for those in authority, pray for our officials, we pray with that in mind, that we want to be able to conduct our lives as believers in Christ in a peaceful and quiet and godly and holy manner. And then he goes on to say, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So what is God's desire? Well, God's desire is for all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So why are we to live peaceful and quiet and godly and holy lives? So that we could have opportunity to share God's desire with those that we encounter in our circles of influence, our neighborhoods, our churches, our jobs, our towns, our cities, our communities, our states, our nation as a whole, so that we can have opportunity to share the desire of God that all are to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So here's my encouragement to you today, our listeners. As you pray for our country, I want you to pray for opportunity. I think that's the most important prayer that we can offer up as a people of God, to pray for opportunity. Pray for opportunity to be ministers of reconciliation, to tell the people that we live among that God is no longer counting their sins against them, that they've been reconciled once and for all through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Pray for opportunity to be a voice for that wonderful message. Pray for opportunity to be ministers of life, Paul said that he was made competent as a minister of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. Why? Because the law kills, but the spirit gives life. So when we have opportunity to open our mouths and share the glory of this new covenant, we are serving as ministers of life. And there's a lot of spiritually dead people who need life in this world today. So pray for opportunity to be ministers of reconciliation, ministers of the new covenant, to be a voice in this land. People need to know that God loves them. And we've been set apart to be a voice, to share that good news, and to see others be rescued out of darkness and placed into life, see others go from death to life in Jesus Christ. That's our great calling, and that's why we should be praying for this nation. And these prayers should be specific as far as opportunity is concerned, that we can be a voice for the gospel.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Bob, for that. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. We're glad that you've joined us. We'd love to offer you the opportunity to pose a question or present a topic of discussion. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. As I said at the outset, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. We await your calls right now. You know, hardly a day goes by that I don't mention the importance of Basic Gospel, the radio program, being on the air live. Why live, you might ask? Well, I could point to just about any call that we receive on the air and say, that's why. Now, this is not intended to downplay the vital importance of good Bible preaching on the airwaves, but if, like others, Basic Gospel were just another pre-recorded radio program out of touch with the immediacy of our listeners' needs, people whose hearts are literally breaking over any number of real-life issues would have no place to go for immediate answers for right-now issues. That is a prime reason that Basic Gospel must be on the air live every day with answers from God's Word that truly make a lasting difference in the lives of hurting, discouraged, disconnected, disenchanted, disappointed people, people that God deeply loves. So we ask your help today with the most generous gift you can give, most generous gift you can afford, to keep Basic Gospel on the air live, on the air and online. All you need to do is click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or by phone, 844-412-2742. Again, that's 844-412-2742. Either way, a wonderful way to support this ministry.
Yes, indeed.
Question from Erica, who writes to us from Fort Worth. Does believing that baptism is required for salvation go against the biblical view of justification? Of course, we were talking about justification last month.
Yes, we were. And that's a great question about baptism.
Yes.
And so if you believe that you have to be baptized to be saved, what does that say about the gospel? What does that say about Christ's work on the cross? Was it enough, or do we have to add to it?
If we have to be baptized in order to receive the gifts Jesus came here to give us, then he didn't come here to give us gifts. He came to give us an invoice. And that's not the way it works.
Right.
This is grace. It is God's initiative, our response to receive it, and then we have this wonderful privilege to demonstrate the reality of that response in baptism. But don't get tied up in thinking that baptism as a work all of its own is somehow magic, that somehow brings me closer to God, because it doesn't. If that were the case, the gospel wouldn't be the gospel. Jesus wouldn't
right.
be Jesus.
And there's certain denominations that teach that you have to be baptized in water to be saved. As a matter of fact, they call it baptismal regeneration, that your sins are washed away, you receive new life as you go down into those waters. But if you go to some of those churches and say, well, I was baptized, you know, at this particular denomination, and I was immersed, you know, just the way baptism is supposed to be, well, they will say that's not enough. You need to be baptized in our waters by our pastor. And that's what we have to get down to. This is one particular group saying this is what must occur for you to be saved. And whenever we add to the gospel, and when we're talking about the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, when we add to that, we're taking away from what Christ has already accomplished.
Well, it's really no gospel at all.
Absolutely. So it's Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus was raised back to life. I'm baptized by, that messes it all up. That just totally takes the story away from Christ and puts it on my shoulders. Mm-hmm. And this gospel is not about me. It's news that happened way in the past. And Jesus was the center of that news. God sent Jesus. Jesus took upon himself human flesh. He lived among us. He taught. He performed miracles. He healed. He raised people from the dead. He proved himself to be the Messiah. He lived in perfect love. He walked in perfect obedience and dependence upon his Father. He fulfilled the law in its entirety. And then he became that perfect sacrifice. He offered himself once and for all as the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. God the Father was satisfied with the work of Christ on our behalf. He received the shed blood once and for all. And then he was buried. That body was put into a borrowed grave. And on the third day, that body came back to life. Jesus walked out of that grave fully alive. The perishable part of his body was replaced by the imperishable. And he lives forever. That's the good news. Jesus lives. That's the story. And that good news benefits us. Yes. When we receive what Christ has done, then we're joined to him. And baptism, as you were saying, water baptism, is that celebration of what God has done for us spiritually.
Yes.
So there's this baptism of the Spirit. You know, John the Baptist said, I baptize in water, but there's one coming after me that's going to baptize with the Spirit and with fire. So he's the second Adam, the life-giving Spirit. So when we come to him by faith, we're baptized spiritually, placed spiritually into the body of Christ. And that is demonstrated by the water baptism. It's just a celebration of what's already been accomplished by Christ through his Holy Spirit, of him placing us into the body.
Yes.
It's fully and solely a work of Jesus, and we're simply the benefits. So if we try to put ourselves in that formula, we've messed up the formula. It doesn't add up. It doesn't compute. It just becomes a mess. There's going to be a lot of people that have gone through water baptism, and the Lord is going to look at them and say, I never knew you. Why? Because they're going to look at Jesus and say, Jesus, well, I was water baptized.
Yeah.
I did what you told me to do. And he said, but you never believed me. You never trusted in my finished work. That is the linchpin. That's what everything hinges. And apart from Christ's work, if it's just us and what we've done, we're without hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's get this straight and realize the gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus. It's his story that makes a difference in our lives.
As Bob Christopher says, period, the end.
That's right.
End of story.
You bet.
Eric, I hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you, as I know it was to many people out across this country. Again, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, one of the things that we're going to be doing in Israel, we'll go to the Jordan River, and lots of people that will be on the trip will want to get baptized in the Jordan River. We've done that before, and it is a wonderful, wonderful experience. And, you know, we'll talk about what baptism is there, and it'll take on a whole new meaning, you know, when you're standing in those waters and realize, you know, Jesus was standing in those waters. John the Baptist baptized him. And the reason John the Baptist baptized Jesus was to identify him to the people of Israel that he was indeed the Messiah. So the dove came and descended and landed on him. There was a voice from heaven saying, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. And so we have the testimony of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit that Jesus indeed was the Messiah. And so we're going to go to that particular spot, maybe not the exact spot, but we're going to go into the real river, the Jordan River, and have an opportunity, if anybody would want to be baptized there to celebrate what's already occurred in their lives, the fact that they are with Jesus, they belong to Jesus, they're a child of God, they're a part of the body of Christ. And so we want to encourage our listeners, if you're interested in joining us in Israel and maybe taking part in this special event at the Jordan River, go to our website, go to basicgospel.net, click the events tab. All the information is right there on how you can be a part of our trip to Israel, mm-hmm. seeing Israel through the lens of the new covenant next February, February 7th through the 18th, 2017. Come be a part of it.
Looking forward to it, Bob. Again, 844-322-2742. Calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of room for you and time on the clock, 844-322-2742.
Let's go and talk with Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
How you doing? I pray that everybody who has ears, that they will hear. Part of the problem here, again, Mark 16:16 talks about being baptized and saved. They've taken that completely out of context. The word baptized means to be immersed into. And when we get saved, we're immersed into the life of Jesus Christ, into his body. Okay? That is salvation. Baptism in water is nothing more than what Richard said. It's a very gracious thing that we can do to allow that ceremony to show what's happened on the inside. But the baptism Jesus is talking about that saves is not water baptism. It is the immersion by the Holy Spirit into him.
That's exactly right. It's something that's supernatural. It happens at this point of new birth. We are born again into the kingdom of God. Jesus sends his Spirit to take up residence in our lives, and then the Spirit places us into the body of Christ. And all of that happens the moment we are born again.
It's another attempt by misleads, I guess, to make something legal out of something that's not legal at all, and it's, again, man making the attempt to make him responsible for something that he's not responsible for.
Right.
So it's just another legal attempt. People just need to learn to connect the dots, keep everything in its proper context, but water baptism is nothing more than what Richard said, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Brad. Thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it. Let's go out to San Diego and talk with Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
Hi. How are you today?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
A friend of mine, and I know this is trivial, but a friend of mine sent me a petition to boycott Target because of their stance on allowing men to go into women's restrooms. And, you know, I don't mind sending a letter saying that I don't approve, but I don't want to pledge that I will never go into Target. And I just wanted your thoughts on that. I probably could be called a hypocrite because I still shop there, but I will register my complaint. And but other than that, I don't feel like I need to boycott them.
Well, Lucy, I think that gets down to an individual decision. I think the mm-hmm. decision Target made is out there, and certainly just a reflection of you know what's going on in our society, the continual mm-hmm. Moral decay that we've been watching for a number of years. It's just on a steady decline, and this is just one more incidence showing that decline is still in progress. We haven't righted the ship, and it's not going up. So, and I think we're just gonna. I think we're in store for many more decisions like Target's. And you know what I say? That gets down to an individual choice. I've seen those petitions that are going around, and you know whether that's going to have a impact or not. That's yet to see. But if you feel so inclined to sign that, sign it, and move on. If you don't feel inclined to sign it, that's okay. You're You know, that's not a litmus test as to whether you're a good Christian or a bad Christian. And right. Oftentimes that's how those things are presented. This is a litmus yeah. test to determine if you're orthodox in your beliefs, if you're fundamental, if you're this or if you're that. And I think we just have to be led by the Spirit of God on these particular issues. And like I said at the beginning, at the outset of this broadcast, our prayer for this country, as far as believers are concerned, is that we have opportunity to deliver the good news to as many people as possible. That's the only thing that's going to change the culture. You know, it's the Absolutely. Only thing that can change an individual. So why would we believe that what's going to change an individual is not powerful enough to change, you know, the culture at large? So I think if we will continue to focus on proclaiming Jesus, lifting up Jesus, and he promised that if he was lifted up, he's going to draw people unto himself. And as he draws people unto himself, things are going to change. So let's stay focused on the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus. So if it, like I said, if you feel inclined to sign a petition, do so. But remember, your mandate is to be a minister of reconciliation and a minister of the new covenant in this world in which we live today.
Right. Well, I thank you for that. And I don't plan to sign it, not because I agree, but because I'm not going to pledge something I probably won't do. So I think that's more honest than signing it and shopping there anyway.
Yeah. You know, so. it's real easy to put a signature to a petition. But then if you mm-hmm. say, hey, raise your voice, tell somebody about Jesus. Oh, I would never mm-hmm. do that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to step on people's toes. Well, my gosh, yeah. they're dead spiritually. They need life. Why wouldn't you love them enough to open up your mouth and tell them about Jesus? And you can do it in such a way that they really understand that you love them, that you care for them. You can express the love of God by telling them about the love of Jesus, demonstrated mm-hmm. through his death, burial, and resurrection. So, like I said, I think it's time for us to focus on what God wants us to focus on, and that's this new life that we have in Christ, and to right. make that new life available to as many people as we possibly can.
Well, I will add that to my letter.
Okay.
Complete.
Hey, thanks, Lucy.
Thanks, Lucy.
Thank
Good to
so
hear
much.
From you, as always.
All right. Well, let's go down to Tampa and talk to Jose. Hi, Jose.
Hey, Bob. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing a little bit better.
Well, I'm glad.
Like, your view of God? If you see him like an earthly father and always running away from him, what do you, on that point, what do you do? Like, I mean, I really just sit down and talk to him like I talk to you.
Well, Jose,
I don't know.
You know, our knowledge of God, there's two ways to get it. You know, we can go to the world and find out what the world thinks about God and let that be our understanding. But if we go to the world, it's going to be a picture of God that's really painted by sin and shame and guilt. And so it's not going to be a very good picture. Or we can go to the Holy Spirit and say, you know, teach me about who God really is. One of my favorite passages and one of my favorite reasons for God sending Jesus is found in John chapter 1, verse 18. He said, I've sent Jesus to make me known to the world. So if we want to really know what God is like, I think we have to look to Jesus. And then as we look to Jesus, we're going to find out that God, as John talked about in his first letter, that God is love.
Yeah.
And that's good news.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, Jose, we're out of time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, friends, continue to remember that your gifts are vitally important so that we can continue to proclaim Jesus to those who need to hear at their point of need. We ask you to help today with the most generous gift you can make to keep Basic Gospel on the air live so that we can continue to meet people right where they have that point of need. You can go to basicgospel.net, click donate on any page, or phone your gift to 844-412-2742. We're out of time, so for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. Teaching edition tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.